Okay. Well, that was really nice. How about we turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. You know, you've probably noticed over the years that I teach a lot on some of the basic things, some of the basic truths, some of the things that have that are ours in Christ. And we're going to do that today. The reason that I like to take as much time in my own life, as well as sharing some of these things, is because I know how easily these things are lost. All it takes is a major event, really. A diagnosis from a doctor. That's all it takes. Knock it right the hell out of you. These things got to be in our hearts. This is life. This is where the rubber meets the road. Either God is who he says he is or he's not. But he is. Kind of neat, isn't it? And so that's why we continually build these things. Sometimes it's fun to go to the Word and, you know, look at some other things and have some fun with it. And nothing wrong with that. Not at all. But, boy, just to come back to these simple truths that are so vital to understand and to believe, if we're really going to walk with and for the true God, to have the type of relationship that he wants to have with us and that he's made available to us by what he accomplished in Christ. Just absolutely vital. Yeah. So, I wanted to begin here in Romans chapter 3, which is a section I know that most of us are familiar with. We're going to begin in verse 21. And we are going to talk, or the word is going to begin to show some things regarding the righteousness that's of God. There are other things that people come up with in an effort to be righteous. In the context here, it's speaking regarding the law and those of Judean background, and you know, their endeavoring to be righteous before God by observing the law, which they couldn't do. But even if they did, that law couldn't give life. That was only going to come through Christ, and it was going to be God's way, not man's way. But now the righteousness of God without the law is made clear, being witnessed or testified to by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of believing, or the righteousness of God by believing, or by the believing of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? You know, Jesus Christ, we're going to get down here a little later in a few verses regarding what we believe, but Jesus Christ believed to fulfill every single thing. He didn't miss one single thing, which is why this chapter ends the way it does, because he didn't blow it. He accomplished it all. He believed God perfectly. Isn't that something? He was the beginner and the finisher of what? Yeah. It's really something. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, and that justified is the act of making one righteous. You're justified from something. You know, you're made righteous. Being justified freely or without a cause by His what? Grace. By His grace. Now, grace is something that's going to come up a lot in this section. Grace is something that comes up a lot all through the epistles. As a matter of fact, I think this is called the administration of grace. Right? Isn't that one of the things it's called? By His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The price that was paid is really what it refers to. The value of the sacrifice, the price that was paid, so that we could be made righteous. Whom God, this Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through, and it should read, the believing in His blood. Blood is put for His life. That which He did, that which He accomplished. Is it it?
It's it.
God bless us, each and every one. He made it. We've been rooting for you, brother.
There's a chair over there for you. Thank you.
That's right.
Reserved for you.
But that blood refers to His life. Come on in, man. You can see it. You can sit right there. This word propitiation, it could be understood as that payment or the full payment. But it's a word. It's really neat. It's only used two times. Once here, once in Hebrews chapter 9. And what it means is it's the place of payment, I think is a simple way to put it. In Hebrews, it's translated mercy seat. Isn't that neat? The mercy seat was where God would meet His people in the Holy of Holies. Well, where does God meet His people now? In Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? He's the mercy seat. He's the full payment, the propitiation, the place of expiation. See? It's Jesus Christ. By His believing, and we'll see by our believing on Him. Isn't that neat? So, the propitiation through the believing in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare or to demonstrate. To declare or demonstrate at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which what? Believes in Jesus. Isn't that something? That He might be what? Just. And God is just. He's a just God. There are a lot of things that people lay at God's feet. A lot of accusations that people lay at God's feet. But He's a just God. He's an absolute just God. People, because of their ignorance of God's word, because of their ignorance of who God is, because their ignorance of a devil, of an arch enemy of the true God, lay many things at the feet of God. If there's a God, how come there's so much sin? How come there's so much sickness? If there's a God, how come there's starvation? If there's a God, how come this? How come that? How come that? And then men get caught up in that, and then in their pride, they hate the true God. They hate God, or they hate who they think is God. That's why what we bring to the table is so vital, is so important, because we make known the true God. So often, the God that they hate, the God that they stand against, is the devil. That's right. They just think he's God. Isn't that something? They're blind. They're blind. See? They mistake religion for the true God. They mistake so many things that the adversary is responsible for, and they blame it on the true God. He's a just God. He's a just God. Because all we have to do, all any man or any woman has to do, regardless of their lives, regardless of the history of their lives, regardless of their sin, regardless of whatever, if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're righteous. Is that not justice? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's justice. It's by believing. So where's boasting? Well, it's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nope. By the law of believing. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by what? Believing. Without the deeds of the law. Isn't that wonderful? I want to look at chapter 4. This, we're not going to spend time going through this whole chapter, but it's regarding Abraham, and it's regarding being made righteous by believing. And we, in chapter 3, just learned a little bit about being made righteous by believing. But this is something that had been made available previously. And it was made available to a man named Abraham. In verse 13, it says, for the promise that he, regarding Abraham, you know, let's read verse 12. How about that? Talking about Abraham and the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that believing or steps of the believing of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. Well, what was that believing that he had? What was that believing? It's kind of neat. He believed God. He believed God regarding a seed. Didn't he? That's right. That's the believing that he had. See, who was that seed? Ultimately, it was the Christ. That's right. Isn't that something? Following his steps. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of the believing, is what it should read. Through the righteousness of the believing. I want you to go down to verse 20. Still referring to Abraham. He, Abraham, staggered not. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the believing, is how it should read, giving glory to God. See, Abraham looked forward to the things that you and I have. He looked forward to that promised seed, to that Christ. And he staggered not at the promise of God. God had promised him something. God had promised him a son by Sarah. And it didn't come to pass until Abraham was, I believe, 99 years old. Abraham, he knew physically. He understood that physically, by the senses, this wasn't going to work. But who had promised it? God, see? And he staggered not at the promise of God. We have promises, don't we? Absolutely. We absolutely do. We have promises. Promises that God has given us. Promises that God has given us to stand on. And being fully persuaded, verse 21, that what he had promised, he was able also to what? That's just basically believing that God is who he says he is. That he's able to perform that which he's promised. Being fully persuaded. I want to be fully persuaded. I don't want to be partially persuaded. I don't want to be persuaded on some things and not on others. I just want to be fully persuaded. I just want to be to the place where, you know, God says it and that's it. It's done. There's no fight. You know, where it's just done. Abraham did it. Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He did it. You know? And I have some proof in the senses realm about some things that God's accomplished. Okay. Really something. Fully persuaded. That what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it, that believing, was imputed, or it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Not written for his sake alone, but for us also. Isn't that great? For us also. Us. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Isn't that great? That righteousness. Yeah, that righteousness of God, that justification from all things. Because we're in Christ now. Isn't that something? Who was delivered, this Christ, who was delivered for or because of our offenses. He delivered himself over because of our offenses. And then it says, and was raised again for our justification. Really should read, because of our justification. He was raised because of our justification. Because when he gave himself over, he paid everything that needed to be paid so that we could be justified or made righteous. God had to get him up from the dead. Isn't that something? Because there was nothing left undone. See? We were justified. He paid, the price was paid in full. Really something. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many people in this world have peace? How many people in this world are looking for peace? That's something. We're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're never at odds with God. We're never on the wrong side of this thing. As far as our sonship goes, as far as the price that's been paid, we're never on the wrong side of the ledger. We're always on the right side of the ledger. Isn't that neat? You know, last week, I think it was last week, that we looked at that record in Joshua, right? And this was the last meeting that Joshua had with Israel prior to his death. And it was a big deal. And he met with them in a place called Shechem. It's kind of wild. Shechem was a place of great significance. It was the first place mentioned in the Promised Land that Abraham rested. And it is the place Abraham was when he got the revelation that we read in Genesis chapter 12. Behold now the stars, so shall thy seed be. Follow me. That was in Shechem. Great significance. It was a valley between two mountains. One was Gerizim, Mount Gerizim, and the other one was, I think it was Herbal or Ebal, I forget. But it was a valley between these two mountains. In Deuteronomy, they were told that when you go into the Promised Land, and it's a section in Deuteronomy where it talks about writing the law and the words of God, the words that you hear this day, write them on your posts. Write them on this. Write them on that. Write them on this. Then he said, when you go into the promised land, I want you to take the blessings that I have pronounced. And I think the blessings were supposed to go on Mount Gerizim. I may have this backwards. I don't think so, though. Take the blessings. Those go on Mount Gerizim. The cursings, should you reject these words? Should you reject the true God? They go on Mount Herbal, or Ebal, or whatever it was called. Isn't that something? The blessings and the cursings. And right in the middle was the plain of Shechem. And that's where he met Israel. That's something? Choose you this day. Choose you this day. See? Who you're going to serve. You and I chose when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. See? And we're freed from the curse. It says in Colossians, right? Because of the price paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? We've chosen. We are who we are because of our choice. Now, what we do is we choose whether or not to walk it, whether or not to believe it, whether to stay put in the grace, or to walk around not feeling worthy. We have to make the choice whether to take God at His word or not, consider it too risky. That's the choice we're faced with. But we're still sons of God. We still have all that Jesus Christ accomplished. See? Isn't that something? Still belong to Him. By whom, Jesus Christ, we have access by the believing into this grace, into this grace wherein we stand, into this grace wherein we stand. Isn't that something? It's grace. We did nothing to earn this. This is so amazing. It is so amazing. You know, Israel was given the choice in that book of Joshua as to whether or not they were going to stand on that law. You and I established the law. We have the law written in our hearts because we have spirit. That's something. And God works in us to will and to do. Isn't that cool? He works in us. We have His word and we have that spirit of God. See? And He tells us. He shows us. Into this grace wherein we stand. It's really something. Something to sit and think about. Into this grace wherein we stand. And you know when it says wherein we what? We stand. And that's where we want to stay put, is in the grace of God. It's never by our own wits, our own strength, our own smarts, our own experience. None of that doesn't mean anything. Otherwise there'd be boasting, right? There is no boasting. It's excluded. Because who did it for us? Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that one. That He did it. We stand in that grace and we rejoice. We boast in hope of the glory of God. Isn't that something? Because that day's coming. You know, and that day, we're going to see the glory of God. We're going to see God glorified, and we're going to be glorified. We're going to be glorified in Christ. Isn't that something? We're going to be gathered together with Him, and it's coming. He is coming back. He is going to return. It's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They partied and went on about their business, and then it started to rain. And it kept raining. Right?
Yeah.
Just kind of like that. He's coming. See? And then we're going to read here that we're in. Well, let's just read it. And not only, but we glory or we boast in tribulations. Knowing that those tribulations, those mental pressures, they produce or they bring about patience. And that patience brings about a proving. See, it's a proven integrity. And that experience, that proven integrity, hope. And hope makes not what? And this word ashamed, it is a word, it is when you put all your, you pinned all your hopes on something. Have you ever done that? You pinned all your hopes on something, you thought this thing was just going to be so awesome, so great, so fantastic, and then it happened, and it's like, it's like, that's this word of shame. It's not that great. It's a shame brought about by disappointment. Do you understand that? It's a shame brought about by disappointment. The hope makes not what? Isn't that something? We will never be shamed by disappointment, by our hope. As a matter of fact, in Peter it says, put all your eggs in this basket. Hope to the end, it says. Hope to the end. Not the end of time, to the nth degree with everything you got. Live in light of that hope. Live in light of that return. See yourself in light of that return. Isn't that something? That's what it means. We will not be disappointed. We will not be shamed. We talk about the hope. We talk about the return. We think about His return. Try and learn as much as I can about the return. Love it. My favorite subject in God's Word. And with all the talk, and with all the expectation, you know, all the hoopla, I will not be disappointed. No matter how much I talk this up. Because it's the truth. We will not be put to shame. Isn't that neat? That's what it's saying. Guaranteed. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Isn't that awesome? He has demonstrated His love by pouring out Holy Spirit into our hearts. Not bad. For when you were yet without strength, we're just going to read a couple more verses. When you were yet without strength, in due time or at the appropriate time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would dare to die. But God commended or demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Isn't that something? We were worth it to Him while we were yet sinners. Much more then. Being now justified by His blood, His life, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be what? We shall be saved by His life. Isn't that something? If God did this for us when we were enemies, what about now? That's something. Chew on that one. If God so loved us when we were enemies, what about now?
Of course.
Amen. That's the right answer. Ronnie got it. Isn't that simple?
The true God. Other gods may not, but the true God does.
That's right, the true God. And that's the one we're talking about. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? See, so we stay put in these things. We're fully persuaded. We stay put in that grace. And these are simple truths, man, that we can never get too much of. We should remind ourselves of these things always. Because, again, they can be so easily lost. So easily lost. All it takes is an event, sometimes, a hurt, you know, something you've never seen before, all of a sudden you're faced with. And then it's like, And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. You know, where's God? What did I do wrong? What? See, the way to fortify yourself in your walk is not in the middle of something like that. It's now. It's now. Okay? So, amen?
Amen.